Success always starts with God's Word. Pastors Glenn and Esther Nurse presents this inspirational teaching as they share with you some of the rich truths that have profoundly and dramatically affected their lives. Join them now as we receive from God's Word.
You ready? Yeah. We're talking about the believer's authority. Mm-hmm. That means if you don't know Jesus, it's not your authority. It's for those who know Jesus, you have an authority.
Yeah. That's right.
Wow, I liken that.
Come on.
And I had to learn as a young person that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle every single day.
Every day.
I used to get mad at people and think, oh, that me, them. And then I realized actually it's a spiritual battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, people, but against principalities and powers. So we're in a spiritual battle. And just because you can't see the devil or demons doesn't mean he's around.
Oh, he's
there. He's after your heart. He's after your mind. He's in society, culture, nation, and the world, and he's trying to draw people to himself, steal them away from God. God is trying to free us and heal us, and the devil is trying to destroy and kill us. The devil ain't your friend. I don't care how pretty he paints it. His aim is to kill, steal, and destroy. And until you know Jesus, you got a bad daddy, because the devil's your daddy. And when you know Jesus, God becomes your daddy, and the devil can't mess with you no more. That's what we're talking about today. It's worth it to be a believer in Jesus. Amen?
Oh,
amen.
Yeah. It's like hitting the jackpot, isn't it? Taking home lotto.
Yeah.
We have been given authority over all evil spirits. Not just some of them, over all evil spirits through Jesus Christ. Through his victory on the cross at Calvary, we got victory over Satan. And we received that victory the moment we were born again. The moment that you accept Jesus, you get the authority over all evil spirits. Yep. Whether you realize it or not, it's given to you the moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So don't keep questioning yourself, do I have the authority or don't I have the authority? Will it work? Won't it work? You have the authority. Yep. It will work when you use your authority. Just continue to be strong in the Lord Jesus. Be strong in the power of his might. Not your power or might. You cannot battle a demon in your own strength. You've got to do it in Jesus Christ, in his power, in his might. It's never about whether you feel like you can do it. Oh, I don't know whether I can do that today. I've just had such a day at work. No, doesn't matter how you feel. It's all about what Jesus has already done for us. You've got the power. You've got the authority. You just need to use it.
Yeah. Now, one thing let me make clear. You have no power and authority over someone else's will.
No.
You have power and authority over the enemy. You have sovereign control over your own will, but you have no power over someone else's will.
That's right.
In other words, you can't make people do what they want to do, what you want them to do. But you can command an evil spirit. So the power we're talking about is that in the name of Jesus, you don't have to be tormented by anxiety, by depression, by fear, by horrific dreams. You have the power and the authority to get that evil spirit out and away from you in Jesus' name. So today, we're going to look at the cornerstone or the foundation or the basis of our authority. Because I'm telling you, in your little self, if Satan himself showed up, you're lost. But what gives us the authority? What gives us the strength? What gives us the power to stand up? What is the cornerstone? What is the rock on which I stand while everything around me shaking? What is this rock? How come I can stand? The wise man built his house on the
rock.
Winds came, storms blew, but he was built on Jesus. So Jesus Christ is the basis, the foundation, the thing that we stand on, and we can stand up to Satan himself in that name. I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome,
awesome.
That I have that name. So the Apostle Paul explained how we ended up with Jesus' authority. Do you want to know how you ended up with it?
Yeah?
When you believe in Jesus, this is how you end up with it. Paul says in Galatians 4 verse 1, let me illustrate. As long as an heir is a minor, he's really not much different than a servant. although his master, he's the master of all of them. For until the appointed time by the father, under the domestic supervision of the guardians of the estate, so it is with us when we were juveniles. Now, the word juveniles in the Greek there means an infant, a babe, a minor, not of age, untaught and unskilled. So Paul's saying you can be an heir to this authority, you can be a beneficiary, but if you are untaught, you are unskilled, you're a baby, you're just like a slave, you have no idea. Wow. We said it's like we can put $1 million in your bank account, but if you don't know about it and you don't have a PIN code, it means nothing to you. But as soon as you get that PIN code, we're going shopping. Right? So we were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. So before Jesus, you are enslaved under demonic spirits.
Yeah.
They can come and torment you because devil is your daddy. And you don't have any power to come against them. Anxiety can come, fear can come, horror can come, terror can come on your life, and you have no power without Jesus. You are subject, enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. But who loves a but in the Bible? But, not but as in however, nevertheless. When the time of fulfillment had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Yet all of this was so that he could redeem us and set us
free.
Free. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live bound by torment or fear or anxiety or all these things. Jesus came to set us free. He came and set free those held hostage to the law so that we would receive our
freedom,
a full legal adoption as his children. Like I said, when you are unsaved, you don't know Jesus, Satan is your daddy. When you receive Jesus, God the Father becomes your daddy. The Bible says you get a full legal adoption as his children. And so, that we would know that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out immediately, "My Father, my true Father." That's why we call him Papa God, Daddy God, Abba Father. He'd be our dad. God's not up there with a big stick. Oh, he is your dad. He's your dad. The Bible says you come and go, "Dad, I need help, Dad." And I got the almighty dad. No matter what my natural dad was, I've got a true father. So Paul goes on to say, now we are no longer living like slaves, ignorant, untaught babies. Under the law, we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we are his, I don't belong to the devil. He got no rights in my life. I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to Father God, right? And because we are his, we can access everything our Father has. For we are heirs because of what God has done. Now, when you're a parent, you will find your children don't ask you if they can go to your fridge. They just go.
That's right.
I'm hungry. What you got, Mum? They'll just go in because they know that's theirs. And God says that about us. We have access to everything that he has. So what the Apostle Paul tells us is we are not slaves. We are sons and daughters.
Come on.
We are no longer slaves to the enemy. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. I don't know about you, but if I've got to pick a side, I'm going on God's side. I don't want to be on the devil's side. I want to be on God's side because I have access to everything the Father has. What you need in your life, you better go up to Papa Daddy. Dad, I need a job. Dad, I need some finances. Dad, I need a husband. Dad, I need a friend.
They're like all of the above.
Well, you better go on into that throne room. You better go in as an heir, as a son or a daughter, because you are an inheritor. You are a beneficiary. Mm-hmm. You are a recipient. You are a successor. You are a legatee of Jesus.
Yeah.
How cool is that? So we inherit God's authority through Jesus. Now, most people know God is pretty powerful. He is the most powerful, right?
Yeah.
You inherit that authority, not from what we have done or not done. We write ourselves off. We shoot ourselves in the foot. Well, I'm not worthy. If you only knew what I did. Yeah, I know what you did, but it ain't about you, boo. It's about what Jesus did for you. It's about what Jesus did. If I write you in my will, you are a beneficiary to whatever I leave you, whether you deserve it or not.
That's right.
That's what God did. Amen. And I've seen some beneficiaries who don't deserve what they got, but they were written in the will and they got it anyway,
right?
Because that's how wills work. We inherit Jesus' authority, but if we are untaught and unskilled, it's useless. It's like dollars in a bank account that you don't know how to access. So get saved, but don't stay a baby. Grow up and learn how to access everything God has for you. That's why we come to church. Not because we're perfect. We come so that we can know and grow.
Ooh.
We come so that we can know and grow.
So good.
Get your mindset right. You're not coming to church because you got it all together. You're all perfect. No, we are work in progress every day.
Yep.
We come so that we can know and grow.
Yeah.
So when you're in church and something challenges you, don't be like, well, who are you to tell me? Say, oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to grow.
Yeah.
I'm going to grow. Mindset is everything. She's back.
She's back. Cool.
Good, Pastor G.
Okay, you're to the end
I'm
of the day.
Yeah.
That was good. So in Matthew 28, we see Jesus having a conversation with his disciples. And Jesus tells them that all authority in heaven and on earth is now his.
Yep.
So let's have a look at that in Matthew 28, 16. He says this, meanwhile, the 11 disciples heard the wonderful news from the women. Ooh, women. The first preachers of the gospel. Women. They said, he is risen. Women can be preachers too. So the 11 disciples heard the wonderful news from the preacher, the woman. And they left for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. The moment they, the disciples, saw him, they worshipped him, but some still had what?
Lingering
doubts. Right in the middle of the will of God. Doing what they had to do, meeting Jesus where they had to meet him, and they still had lingering doubts. Anyone have lingering doubts about things? Yeah.
Do we have to be honest right now?
No, we don't. No hands, no hands. So the 11 disciples are there. Some of them have lingering doubts. And it says, then Jesus came close to them and said, what? All authority of the universe has been given to me. So where is all the authority in the universe? Where did it go to?
Been given
to Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus got it.
That's right, both.
But Jesus didn't stop there. He continued on. In the next verse he says, now, or because of all the authority in the universe being given to Jesus, wherever you go,
yep.
Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow.
Pastor G, can I just point out there it doesn't say wherever pastor goes.
That's right. It's wherever you go.
It says wherever you go.
That's right.
You baptized, you teach them, you bring them in.
Yeah.
So you make disciples.
That's right.
It ain't just my job. Just
so
saying.
If you go to work, you can do it at work.
Yep.
If you go shopping, you can do it shopping. If you're on a walk, you can do it on a walk.
Stop waiting for me. I ain't coming.
He says we've got to teach them, these ones that we go to, we've got to teach them to faithfully follow, not to do their own thing, but to learn how to faithfully follow, how to obey all that Jesus has commanded you. And never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. This was the final discussion that Jesus had with his disciples. And he gave his final instructions to them before he ascended up and he went to heaven. And even though they had lingering doubts, which is our human nature, Jesus still gave clear instructions on what they have to do. Just because you have lingering doubts does not mean that you cannot do what the Word of God says you can do. You can do it, men and women of God. You've got the power. You can do it. You can do what the Word of God says, even if you have lingering doubts. So Jesus' instructions were clear. He said, all authority in heaven and earth, in other words, the whole universe, has been given to Jesus.
Mm. All, not some.
Yep.
All authority in the universe.
Yeah.
Why are we limiting God?
Yeah.
In the universe. So now wherever you go or we go, guess what? All authority in the universe goes with us.
Yeah.
It's been given to you. You or we go in His, Jesus' authority, full stop.
That's right.
Why the devil don't scare me. Full stop. That's right. He's dealing with all power and all authority in the universe.
Yeah. We have all power and all authority to teach all nations.
Yeah.
Not some of them, even the ones that don't want to hear. We've got all power and all authority to teach all nations, bar none.
Tell them anyway.
Yeah.
And the Bible says it's the Great Commission that you, church, you, friend, are to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Jesus' authority. We have a church, not just us personally, that's waiting for pastor to do everything. When the Great Commission is on you to disciple, you to baptize, you to teach the Word of God in Jesus' authority. It's yours.
Yeah.
It's yours.
You got a bathtub? Baptize them.
You can have a turn in the cold water when we do baptisms.
We've been given all power and authority to teach all nations. What are we to teach them? To observe all Jesus has commanded in His Word for us to do. In other words, we are to guard what He tells us, to fulfill it, to command it, to hold fast, to keep it and obey it. We've got to teach people. It doesn't come naturally.
No.
Obeying God's Word does not come naturally to me.
Yeah.
I have to make a choice. We have to learn the Word and apply the Word and do the Word and all Jesus commands so that we can do all that He has said.
Yeah. And we're living in a society where we have churches who just want to tell you the nice parts. The nice part. Because we don't want to offend anybody, you know. Yeah. And we find that if we put up a post and it's offensive, hey, don't get mad at me. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you what it says, you know. And we've got to teach them all God commands, even if it's a little offensive.
Yeah.
We're not trying to offend. But the Bible, my Bible says, I am to teach you all God's commands, even the broccoli that you don't like, all God's commands, because Jesus is with you. Jesus is with us always. Even if the apocalypse happened, Jesus is with you right till that moment.
Yeah.
When you step out of this body, Jesus said He is with you right at that moment. He will never, ever leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
That is the greatest promise in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go through stuff. It's called life. Choose your heart, I say. It's got to be. It's hard to be fat. It's hard to be on a diet. Choose your heart. It's hard to be fit. It's hard to be obese. Choose your heart, you know. It's called life, right? Choose your heart. Because here's the thing, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you.
Even in your zombie apocalypse, Jesus is with you. Anyway, Jesus has been given all authority, right?
Yes.
Not only that, Jesus is seated in authority in heaven. If we have a look at Ephesians 1, it says this. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and what?
Seated
Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. So the resurrection power that was released when Jesus was crucified, seated Him, raised Him from the dead, seated Him in a place of honor at God's right hand side in heavenly realms.
Yeah.
So that resurrection power gave Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth, and then Jesus was raised up and seated in a position of authority over the universe. He's seated at the right hand of God Almighty. He's seated in the highest place of honor.
Now, what does that tell you right there? He's done all He's ever going to do for you. He's sitting up in heaven now. Jesus, you do it. Sorry, boo.
Jesus, take the wheel. It's your wheel.
It's your wheel. You take the wheel, right? Here's the amazing thing and the most wonderful good news. Paul continues on in Ephesians 2, verse 1, the next chapter. And he said, his, Jesus' fullness, fills you.
You.
Fills pastor, fills leader. No, yeah. Fills you.
So you're full of it.
You're all full of it.
You're all full of it. I've wanted to say that for years.
Have you? Even though, and here again we see, right, when you don't know Jesus, Satan be your daddy. When you know Jesus, God be your daddy.
Yep, yep.
The Bible says, continues on, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offences. Offences will kill you. Don't get offended.
Yeah, I remember when they walked into church.
Yeah. It wasn't long ago that you lived in the religious customs and values of the world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm. What did we say? When you don't know Jesus, Satan's your daddy. You're obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. So you better know, when you don't know Jesus, the enemy is working diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God.
Wow.
And he is going to kill you, destroy you, and take joy and peace and hope and love and every ounce of thing that you have. That is his plan, right? That's the enemy's plan. Next verse. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the disease, the deeds and the desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children of God, subject to God's wrath like everybody else. So what he's saying here is like, if it feels good, do it. That's living the self-life. That's not how God says to live. But here again, we have another, but God. But God still loved us.
Yes, he did.
That wouldn't be easy to love. Dead corpses who are doing if it feels good, do it kind of life and not caring about anyone else. God still loved us. But God still loved us with such great love. This Jesus that we love and serve, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many, don't like that word, but it's true. Many sins. He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. Now, here's the key part. When you get saved, when you are saved by the wonderful grace of God that we don't deserve, but Jesus loves us and forgives us and picks us up and adopts us anyway, you dead old corpse, I'm going to love you and pick you up and bring you home, you stinking flesh corpse. That's our Jesus, but he picked us up. Oops, flipping around here, sorry. He picked us up and he loved us anyway. And then when that happens, it says he raised us up with Christ,
yes,
the exalted one. And we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one in Christ. That right there's got to tell you it's better than the devil being your daddy. You get lifted up and co-seated with Jesus Christ in heaven. Spiritually, you become one with Christ. So all authority was given to Jesus when he rose again. And Jesus is now seated in that authority in heaven. But not alone. We are seated with him. This is why you can walk into the throne room 24/7 no matter what's happened in your week. Even if you said a cuss word. Even if you blew this. Even if you did that. You go in the righteousness of Jesus. You walk in and say, Father, forgive me. I'm coming in the righteousness of Christ. Because you have been seated with authority. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. You can't do enough good works to earn the grace of God. You do good works because you are like Jesus, not to earn his grace. And we are seated there because of Jesus. We are seated there because we are beneficiaries. We are sons and daughters. We are heirs. And we walk into Papa God's throne room fridge and we get what we need, baby. I've been needing a house, Papa God. Well, I'm coming on in there in Jesus' name. I need a lime on my lime tree, Papa God.
Yeah.
I ate that lime, by the way.
Yes, you did.
And I did not share it with Pastor G.
I did not even get one tenth of a little sliver.
He took too long, you know what I'm saying?
She consumed the whole thing like a vacuum cleaner on steroids.
It was good.
Ah, dear. But what we've got to remember is this verse that we're looking at in Ephesians 2 here is past tense. Yeah. In other words, it has already happened. So we are already seated there spiritually.
Yep.
God is not going to do it in the future. This has already been done. You yep. are already located in the place that this verse is telling us. So where are you spiritually seated?
In heaven.
In heavenly places with Jesus.
We'll be looking down at the
devil. Yeah. We are seated at the right hand of God in that place of honor, and the devil knows it.
Yep.
Right? He hates it because that's the place that he wanted to be in.
Yep.
He wanted to be the ultimate authority. He wanted to be ruling and reigning. He wanted to be seated with God. But that's not the divine plan for man that God had. The divine plan for man was that we would be seated with Christ in heavenly places and have all authority on the earth.
That's why he hates us so much.
That's why he hates us.
Because we have what he wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jesus has 100% finished his work here on earth. He's not about to come back and do something new and something different. He did his work and he sat down at the right-hand side of the Father. Now, he didn't sit down at the right-hand side of the Father to have a rest. Right? That's not what he's there. He's not up there thinking, oh, I could have done that better. Can I have a do-over, God? Can I go down to earth again? No, he's not thinking that. He's not up there checking his superannuation account to see if he's got enough to retire at some time in the future. Right? That's not what Jesus is doing up there. So if Jesus is not doing all that, what is Jesus doing in heaven? The Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews 10. He says this, but when the priest... Jesus is our high priest. So when Jesus had offered the one supreme sacrifice for sin for all time, he sat down on the throne at the right hand of God, waiting until his whispering enemies are subdued, turn into his footstool. So Jesus is seated in heaven, waiting.
Yeah.
He's waiting until his enemies become his footstool, until they are subdued and become what he says they will be.
So wait a minute, Pastor G. We just said that Jesus already won all the authority.
That's correct.
That he has already done it. So why is he waiting? I thought he already won, right? I thought he already subdued him. What does it mean then? What's he waiting for? If he's won over the enemy, what is he waiting for him to be under his footstool, under his feet? We know the cross. Jesus said, when he said it was finished, he meant it. He'd done it, right? So why is Jesus waiting for his enemies to be subdued and made his footstool? You want to know why? What he's doing? Why? Because Jesus sits in heaven waiting for his body, the church, to put his enemies under their feet. The Bible said Jesus is the head, right? He ain't the feet, right? So the head's up there. We are the body. So who acts for Jesus and puts the enemy under Jesus' feet? We are the hands and feet of Jesus. The Bible says so. So that's the part we have to play. He's already won it, but if you don't stomp your foot in Jesus' name, I'm the foot of Jesus, devil. Get under it. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's waiting for the church. He's waiting for the believer to rise up and use their authority. What I love about that, if the enemy ever comes near me or I'm praying for someone, I'm like, ooh, I get to squash you under my feet. It's a beautiful feeling. In other words, you've got to realize Jesus has done everything he's ever going to do for you. Jesus, take it away. No, stand up in the name of Jesus and cast that thing out. Jesus, I don't like the devil. He's tormenting me. Well, stand up and say, get out in Jesus' name. You have the power and you have the authority. It's up to you to take the authority. Not even pastor. I'll pray for people. I'm happy to. But you know what? You have the same authority in Jesus that I have. When you are born again, you are a son and daughter of the Most High God. You are an heir who has the authority to say, devil, get out of my room. Mm-hmm. Devil, get out of my mind. No, I will not fear. No, I will not be anxious. You go in the name of Jesus. It works. It works. So it's up to you to put the enemy under your feet in Jesus' name.
Now, the thing about authority is that it works through a chain of command.
Yep.
So the chain of command is this. Jesus won it and he gave it to who? He gave it to us, didn't he?
Yep.
So Jesus won it. He gave it to us. So we are the ones who have to enforce it.
Yep.
We are the ones who apply it and make it happen. We are the ones who have to trample down every evil force that comes against us. That's the chain of command. He won it. We have to do it. So how do we take authority? How do we take God's authority? How do we put the enemy under our feet? Because when the enemy's under our feet, the enemy is also under Jesus' feet.
Mm-hmm.
When the enemy becomes our footstool, okay, it is also becoming Jesus' footstool. So how do we do that? We take the word of God, what we know as the word of God, and we start to declare it. What is declare it? We start to speak it.
Yep.
Okay, so we believe it and we speak it, we declare it, and we start to live it. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to know the word, and it's a whole nother level to start living the word, to do what the word says. But if we want to put the enemy under our feet, if we want him to be our footstool, we have to take the word of God, we've got to declare the word of God, we've got to believe the word of God, and we're going to live it.
Mm.
We've got to make the devil obey what the word of God says.
Yep.
Because we have all authority. We have all power. So we have to make the devil obey it no matter what. Whether he yells, whether he screams, no matter what happens, how much the resistance is, all we have to do is take the word of God, declare it, believe it, and live it out, and he becomes our footstool.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that we make the enemy our footstool is to obey the Great Commission.
Yep.
The commandment that God gave us in Matthew and Mark and Acts. Now, the Great Commission is not just about getting people saved. Now, getting people saved is a really important part of the Great Commission, but it's not everything. We are commanded to make disciples. So our lives have to be all about making disciples, not converts, disciples. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Disciples live out the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So part of putting the enemy as our footstool is that we go out and we start making disciples of those people in our world.
Mm-hmm.
We lay hands on the sick. We cast out devils and demons in Jesus' name. We start to teach the nations to observe and obey all that Jesus commands. We speak with new tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And we speak in new tongues, mm-hmm. baptizing the Holy Spirit, becoming a witness of Jesus that is filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So what's the Bible saying here? You bring them to church. You disciple them.
Yeah.
You call them up and say, why aren't you here this week? How are you going? Do you need me to pray for you? Do you know what God's word says about this? You are to disciple them.
Yeah.
Not me. Why are you waiting for me to make friends on Facebook?
Hmm.
If I'm posting something that you know they need, repost it.
Yeah.
Remind them, hey, did you see that post Pastor E made about, you know, how you're putting football first? You know, do you think really that's what Jesus would do?
Yeah.
Why are you putting it on me?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says it's your commandment. Yeah. It is the Great Commission. You are to disciple them.
Mm.
You are to go to them and say, how was church? I noticed you haven't come back since. What's going on?
Yeah.
Were you offended? Did something happen? Or did you have a good time? Or are you learning commitment? What's going on? You disciple them. Like I do you, right?
Yeah.
You disciple them. Stay on that. That's your Great Commission. All this time we've been waiting on God. But the truth is God is waiting on you. Like, God, fill the church. Bring people in. Get in your car. Go pick them up. Say, hey, you want to come to church? You're more than welcome. You know, I want you to come. God's waiting on you, boo.
Yeah, that's right.
God, we are the hands and feet. Jesus is sitting in heaven. Jesus is not going to show up in apparition.
I feel you should be at church today.
He's like, you are Jesus' voice. You are Jesus' hands and feet. You are Jesus to them. You, Jesus said, you go in my authority. Like a policeman, he knocks on the door. It's not Anthony Albanese, but he's coming in the name of Anthony Albanese, isn't he? That's why you're opening the door. So you've got to do it, boo. I've got a scripture, a quote on my mirror, and it says, no one else is coming. Mm-hmm. To remind myself, it's up to you. We always want somebody else. No one else is coming. If you don't do it, it don't get on. Yeah. So what is the mind of Christ? It's not timid and scared and lost and confused. The mind of Christ says, it is mine, so I'm coming at you, devil. I'm coming at you, devil. Too many Christians are like, ooh, I don't know, oh, devil's scary. I'm like, no, I'm coming at you, devil. I'm coming in the authority of the universe. Don't you know who my dad is? Almighty God who defeated you and made an open show of you, paraded you like a whipped dog and said, you under, boy. I'm coming in that name. I'm coming in that name. You're coming in that name. When against every demonic force, against anxiety and fear and whatever's tormenting you, you come in that name. In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. Powerful, the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, last week, we looked at a prayer in Ephesians 1:17 where the Apostle Paul prayed about us being given the spirit of wisdom. You remember that? Have you been praying that over yourself through the week?
Yep.
Pastor E posted it up. Great prayer to pray over yourself. And Paul prayed that we would be given the spirit of wisdom so that we could get understanding.
Yep.
Now, here's what we've got to understand is that Jesus is wisdom. Yep. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us that Jesus is wisdom. And John 1:1 tells us that Jesus is the Word of God, right? So therefore, our wisdom is the Word of God. No matter what you think, wisdom is not how you feel.
Yep.
Okay, wisdom is not your feelings. It's not what your culture says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the islands, we do it this way.
So? In Australia we do it this way. Yeah. In Africa they do it that way. Where would it stop?
So it's not what you feel. It's not what the culture says. It's not what your kids tell you. Okay? Jesus is the Word of God and wisdom is the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one who takes the Word of God and makes that wisdom come alive in us. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the one who takes the Word of God and reveals it inside our spirit. So, like it or not, the Word of God is the will of God.
Yeah.
If it's in His Word, then it is His will. He gave 66 books of the Bible. They contain the will of God for our lives. So when God corrects you, and He will, those who He loves, He chastens. When God corrects you, it is through His Word and through His Spirit, right? It's not through a flat tire. It's not through a broken leg. It's not through a disaster or an epidemic, right? It's not through a stock market crash. And it's not even through an eclipse. Thank you, America. All those things are simply circumstances. A flat tire, a broken bone, a disaster, an epidemic, a stock market crash, an eclipse. They are simply circumstances, things that are happening. And you know what? Most circumstances we bring on ourselves. We're dumb, dumb, dumb. We bring those circumstances on ourselves,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah. Every time we disobey the Word of God, we open the door for circumstances not of God. Or if you know your tire's going and you don't take it to get fixed, it ain't God doing something, you're just being dumb, go and get your tire fixed. You know, it's just normal stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's like I was thinking when Pastor G was saying, it's not what your culture says. Hmm. Like when you turn up at hospital, we have every ethnicity, doctors and nurses. We all follow the same protocol to get you well. We don't go, well, in India we do it this way and in Africa we do it that way. No, there is a way to do it. There's a rate we give you IV fluids. There's a way we give you Panadol. And it doesn't matter what colour or race you are, there's a protocol. And you've got to bring that into the Word of God. No matter what your culture says, no matter what your family says, what does the Word of God say? Because otherwise, the devil will try and lead you through circumstances. And let me tell you something that I know, that I know, that I know. The devil pushes, but Holy Spirit guides and leads. When you are feeling pushed and driven, and you're better, and you do it now. Dude, if you don't do it now, I go, whoa, straight up, hang on. I'm back and back. That ain't God's voice. The voice of wisdom says, Esther, and it can be calm and stern, but it will be not driving and pushing and panicking. That is the voice of the enemy. Holy Spirit leads. So the devil will push you and upset you, and he often drives us by our feelings. Gets us all tense, all attitude, all moody, all grieving, all angry, whatever the thing is going on, and he starts to push that and push that. Yeah, and you should feel that way. They were just so horrible. And he's pushing, pushing, pushing.
Right.
Then you know it's a devil.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah? The voice of God is calm.
It's not your husband, it's a devil.
Well, it can be. No, I'm joking.
Wow.
And the other thing the devil drives through is fear and anxiety and doubt. The devil's voice is the badge of doubt. It says, what if? What if you tithe and God doesn't come through? That's the voice of the enemy. Has God really said? It's exactly what he said to Eve in the garden. Has God really said? He hasn't changed his spot. Oh, it's different for you. Like, I know they can do that, but it's different for you. No, it ain't. God's word works for those who will work the word.
Right.
No matter the color of your skin, no matter your age, no matter your background, no matter what you have or haven't done, the word works for those who will work the word of God. What about when the devil comes and says, you know, I know like God's important, but you know, your kids are number one. Your kids should be more important. They're yours. So don't worry about church. Don't worry about God, because do the best by your kids. Yes, do the best by your kids, but don't make an idol out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The word idol is an Old Testament word for something that takes priority over God.
Yeah.
Anything. Anything. Even if takes priority over God, is an idol.
Yeah.
Wow. If that job takes priority over God, it becomes an idol. If that footy match takes priority over God. None of these things are wrong. It's when they're priority over God, because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. If the devil wakes you in the night with circumstances and scenarios, who finds at 2 o'clock in the morning it is way worse?
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Then you get up and go, my God, calm down. That's the enemy. And I always remember this. This is another one to stick on your wall. The devil works in the dark. God works in the light. The devil works in the dark. God works in the light. If you want God to work on that thing, bring it out of the dark. Bring it into the light.
So good.
Yeah.
Nice. So God leads us by his word and by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. So keep circumstances out of it.
Yeah.
Keep your emotions and your culture and other people's opinion and your doubts. Try and keep that out of being led by God. Do what his word says, full stop.
Yeah.
If you follow his word, you will end up in success. Follow the inner witness of the Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit that you know inside of you. Don't follow religious voices and rebellious voices and selfish voices and your kids' voices and your family's voice. No, follow the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Follow his voice, the word.
Mm.
Now, in Ephesians 3, Paul explains to us a divine mystery of how we hear God's diverse wisdom. Do you want to have a look at that this week or next week? Okay, we'll have a look at it this week.
We're running out of time.
So it says, Ephesians 3:9 says, my passion is to enlighten every person to this divine mystery. So this is Paul's passion that he's talking about here. He says, it was hidden for ages past until now and kept a secret in the heart of God, the creator of all. The purpose of this was to unveil before every throne and rank of angelic orders in the heavenly realm God's full and diverse wisdom revealed through what?
The church.
Oh, church doesn't matter, does it, Pastor?
Church doesn't matter.
Wow.
Well, you're going to be missing on wisdom because wisdom is revealed.
You're not going to get God's full and diverse wisdom if you are not part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on. Let's not stop. This perfectly wise plan was destined from eternal ages. In other words, God had this in plan and place before we ever were.
Mm.
And fulfilled completely in our Lord Jesus Christ, so that now we have boldness through him and free access as kings before the Father because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness.
You know, I've just got to be honest, I think one of the biggest lies of our generation is that church doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The enemy has twisted that in our generation, but I tell you, church is so important. Yes, you can meet Jesus outside of the church, but if you want to know what's yours, you want to grow and you want to take all that God has for you, you've got to be in the church because that's where wisdom of who God is revealed. I love coming to church. Even though I'm the preacher, every time I prepare the word, I'm like, woo, this is good. And I grow more every time. Even the scriptures I've read 1,000 times, there's always more because they are divine. They are divine. And you see, the thing with wisdom is it isn't always black and white. Who's found that?
Oh, yeah.
Like you're like, does this scripture apply or this scripture apply? How do I know? Has anyone ever been there? I've been there, so I'm like, whoa. The Bible says it's full and diverse.
Mm.
We love to just think it's black and white. Well, just do this or do that. Sometimes it ain't easy. Life is grey.
Yeah.
Who's found that too?
Like,
I know Jesus. I walk with Jesus, but I'm like, ooh. Which wisdom do I use here? Do I give mercy or do I bring correction? Yeah. You know? Like, there's both are true. There's times for mercy, there's times for compassion, there's times for a hug, there's other times, no, get your acting together, sit down, you'll be right. You know, so how do you know which to use? It's diverse wisdom. How do we know where to apply it where? Anyone been there? I'm so glad you all asked. Let's see how it's found. You got me. You're always asking the right questions, aren't you? The divine mystery was God's full and diverse wisdom. How do you know it's revealed in church? So what do I mean by that? You've come to church this week. There will be challenges. You're in a prophetic church. So which wisdom are you going to use? The wisdom that you received in church today is going to apply in this week ahead, right? Not the wisdom you received 10 years ago. God is so good that he says it'll be revealed in the church. So God's seeing your week ahead. God's seeing what you're facing. He goes, come to know and grow. Yeah. So when you face that situation, oh, what mystery? Oh, that's right. I have the authority in the name of Jesus today. So I'm going to cast that devil out. It says it is found in the church, revealed in the church.
That's right. So God's full and divine wisdom is revealed in the church. That was the mystery that Paul was passionate about, and that's what we're passionate about as well. The moment when Jesus rose again, he took back all authority and he totally defeated the evil one, Satan. And at that moment, we, Jesus' church, were given bold and free access to the throne of heaven, to God in heaven. Jesus redeemed all power, he redeemed all authority, and he gave it to the church in his name.
Amen.
Why did he do that? Why? So that the defeated devil would become his footstool. Yeah. If he had, it was before anything was, this plan was in place, that he would give all authority to the church, and then those in the church would make the enemy his footstool.
Amen. You got something from the word today?
Yeah.
All right, so as we close, here's what I want you to know. Some things are not the devil, but a lot of things are.
Hmm.
So like I say, if you're in doubt, cast him out.
Yep.
Give him a 1-2 punch in the name of Jesus anyway. And then if it ain't the devil, you've still given the devil a good poof, poof, poof.
And they don't need us to do that.
No.
You do it yourself.
Exactly. You do it yourself. You stand in the name of Jesus. Now, I was thinking as we were coming here, I was thinking about Bondi and everything that happened. I think, what would I do if I was there? I thought I would use divine and diverse wisdom. I would pray and bind the devil. But I know that that man's will has a role to play. I'm not in charge of his will. But I would do what I could in the spirit. I'd say, I bind you, devil. You cease in Jesus' name. And cover the place with the blood of Jesus. But I would also use divine and diverse wisdom. I would pull out my nursing skills and I would stop the bleeding and I would help people and I would run if I needed to or do what I needed to do. That's the diverse wisdom of God. We want to make it black and white. Just bind the devil and, yeah, no, do it all. You know, if you're sick, bind the devil. Tell him to get out of your body. But go to the doctors too.
Yeah.
Turn up and do what you know to do is right. So we're not promoting here that you just bind the devil. Like, yeah, you do. But you know what? You don't have authority over other people's will. Yeah.
True.
Only your own. So you do your part. God does his part. Mm. The biggest problem is Christians won't do their part.
That's right.
They go, God, God, God. Well, yes. Now do your part. Yeah. Do your part. And then you will see it work in your life. So I want to encourage you this week, church. We said divine wisdom is revealed in the church. You have received divine wisdom for the week ahead. So if you are tormented by fear, by anxiety, by depression, by worry, by finances, million things, right? I want you to stand and use your authority in the name of Jesus. Say, get out of my room.
Mm-hmm.
And you will develop this strong in your life. I've been in my room sometimes and a demon's walked in and went, oh, whoa, and screamed and ran out and I didn't even do anything because he's like sensing the authority of God that's in that room. I've had other times they've come in and if I'm having a bad dream, maybe I got a bit too hot, but I'm still going to cast the blanket off and cast the devil out. Don't you be tormenting my mind. If you're tormented with temptations, there is a name that is above every other name and it is the name of Jesus. So I want to make an opportunity today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, Satan is still your daddy and you've never said, Jesus, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to ask you to forgive my sins. I want to be your kid, Jesus. If you've never verbalized that, then you're not a son or daughter of the Most High God. I don't care what happened when you're a baby. They can splash you. They can dunk you. They can call you a Catholic. But you're a baby. You don't know what's going on. The Bible says you have to grow up to an age of understanding and choose Christ for yourself.
Yeah.
Mum and dad, when they get you christened or baptized or whatever, all they're saying is we're going to do our best to teach them in the faith. But there comes a day when you're an adult and you have to choose Jesus. And it's only choosing Jesus that removes you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light.
Yeah.
And it's only through that moment of salvation that you're going to heaven. You are not going to heaven because you belong to a denomination. You are not going to heaven because you got baptized as a baby. The Bible is very clear that you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
And you must do it with an understanding. And God's not looking for insipid, lost Christians. He's looking for bold Christians who know their God, who know who their Father is, and said, devil, get out in Jesus' name. Now, we do this individually, but we also do it corporately. Like we prayed this morning, Sydney, evil, get out in Jesus' name. We come together with a corporate faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So every head bowed, every eye closed. This is just between you and God. And I want to make an opportunity. If you say, Pastor E, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and my Saviour, and I want to fully give my life to him, this is your moment. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It only matters what God thinks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, you're going to slip up your hand, and I'm the only one looking around, me and Mandy, she's looking after the child. It's between you and God, and then we're going to pray a prayer, and you're going to pray after me, and you're going to give your life to Jesus so that God becomes your Father, and you don't have to live in torment anymore. You don't have to live in fear and anxiety, depression, and all those things. Jesus has come to set you free. Yes, it'll be a journey out. It doesn't happen instantly. But if you will come to know and grow to God's house, I guarantee you, you will be a different person as you walk with Jesus.
Remember, success always starts with God's Word. Empower your life with resources by Glenn and Esther Nurse. All audio and video are copyrighted in their entirety. Compliance with copyright laws remains your responsibility.